Does COVID-19 mean we about to get paid?
Will English football be back sooner than we think?
And will Garrett and Paul harness their inner thespian abilities for all to enjoy?
All this and more coming up on today's The Starting 11 Podcast.
Don't go to Liverpool. Song goes out to Paul McCartney if he's listening.
Don't get a Liverpool. It's 8:26 p.m. on a Friday night, March 27th. Welcome to our humble podcast. I'm Paul, and with me tonight, my fellow co-host, Garrett. How you doing, Garrett?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Recording again from inside my closet.
Oh, how's that going?
Cramped. Claustrophobic. Great. Ah. Couldn't be happier.
Great. I'm glad you're happy. So, how's Texas?
Texas is, it's pretty nice, you know, from inside my apartment all the time, never getting out.
Yeah. How's the COVID-19 situation going over there?
It's back and forth every day. You know, we're just going with the flow, man. I don't know what to tell you. We're going with the flow.
Cool. Well, Texas forever, man. As they say in Friday Night Lights, Texas forever. So you just want to get straight into it, or you want to, like, you know, hang out for a while? I think our viewers did, you know, I don't know what they're really interested in. Maybe we can ask them that one day, but you just want to get into the news, or you just want to, you know, hang out, you know, chill.
I think we can hang out and do the news at the same time. Call me crazy. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just get right into it with news. So on Wednesday, the number of Americans filing for unemployment surged to a record high of 3.3 million people. That's a lot of people. A lot of people looking for jobs. The U.S. has more confirmed cases of coronavirus than any other country on Earth, with more than 100,000 positive tests.
Also a lot of people.
And good. That's also a lot of people, yeah. Trump signs into law the largest bailout in U.S. history. I'm talking about the stimulus package, y'all. Yep, we're all going to get some money if you qualify. You want to go through the qualifying?
Please tell me if I qualify.
Okay, let me read it here. So, this is a historic moment. The largest stimulus measure ever approved by Congress could, and actually did pass. The bill's price tag is more, this is just putting it into perspective for us. The price tag is more than 30% larger than that of the legislation passed in the aftermath of the 2008 financial crisis.
Wow.
And we all remember how bad that was. How old are you when that happened?
God.
What year?
I don't even know. 2008, that was 12 years ago. So I was 11.
Whew.
Yeah.
I think I was in eighth grade or seventh grade.
So that puts me at either fifth or sixth grade then?
So let's get back down to it. So this is a historic moment for the American people, for the world, for that matter. So let's just break down the highlights for all those people who are seeing the headlines and, like, what is a stimulus package and what does that mean for me? So the highlights are it's $301 billion of free money, basically. Many Americans will receive direct payments up to $1,200. And if you got any kids out there, you get $500 per child. The payments phase out as individuals making more than $99,000 and couples making more than $198,000. So that actually rules me out.
Oh, darn.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too, man.
Yeah. Making too much. Just kidding. Also, another highlight is if you apply for and file for unemployment insurance. They basically gave a $250 billion just to expand it. So you get more, basically, which could actually you might be making more money being unemployed than you would be employed for some people, especially for some of those hourly wage folks.
I wonder if this has anything to do with so many unemployment cases being filed.
Yeah, exactly. I think we could be in a very strange time in America where you could be making more money unemployed than you would be employed, which talk about an incentive to get a job. Anyway, so $117 billion for hospitals and veterans healthcare. So thank the Lord that our hospitals are getting more money. And then a 349. I'm talking. This is. These are all billions, people. By the way, billions
with a B.
With a B. $349 billion in loans to small businesses. So this would basically be for businesses who are all affected. I think the small businesses are the ones who are being affected the most. Most of these businesses don't have enough money in the banks, unfortunately, because the margins are so low to cover, you know, their payroll for their employees, which those are the ones who are all filing for unemployment now because they got laid off. Utilities, rent, you know, doesn't have to be repaid. So $500 billion in loans, loan guarantees or investments are available for companies. And as for student loans, most Americans with federal student loans won't need to make monthly payments through September 30th with no interest. So basically extending that out. And also, I think for us who are having to file their taxes, I believe that is being pushed out as well. Don't have the specific date on that. But it's a lot of implications for the American people. And I'm actually curious on how they're going to get that money. Like, what's going to happen? They're all just going to send checks to our checking accounts. I mean, I guess Big Brother knows all our addresses anyway, because of census and actually filing taxes or whatever. So I'm actually curious on how I'm going to get my $1,200.
I feel like it's too easy to just send it to us. We're probably going to have to file somehow or sign up somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, maybe I am completely wrong and pessimistic, but that feels like that.
Yeah, I don't.
That might be it.
Yeah, you know, I think we've seen in the last 2 weeks. I mean, how long has COVID-19 at least been a headline here in the U.S. or at least been a part of everyday life for every American? What, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, something like that?
Since late, well, in everyday life for Americans, probably first week of March. So yeah, 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's been quite the, like you've seen the economy just tank, and then now everybody's expecting the money for this from the stimulus package, the bailout, to somehow get back in the markets. But I mean, let's just think this through. I mean, if you're going to get $1,200 and we're still, think about this, you're going to get $1,200 and you're still in the COVID-19 quarantine. Are you really going to be spending that money? Like, is that money really going to, or are you going to just put it in your savings account? You know what I mean? I mean, I think everybody has bills, but I know everybody has bills, but I'm not sure how that money is going to then get from the government to the people, then back in the markets. I'm just not so, I'm not complaining for my $1,200, but at the same time, it's like, I'm not sure how this is going to help us with the economy.
Well, I think we're going to see a lot of new shoes being bought, some more clothes. that's right. That's it. More food. So some takeout.
Yeah, I know. Right. I mean, I guess an extra pizza every other week or something. Exactly. I don't know.
Now I have a request. You have to go through that whole list again in your best Trump impersonation.
I mean, I'm going to take challenge accepted. <Yeah. laughs> On Wednesday, the number of Americans filing for unemployment surged to a record high of 3.3 million people.
This has never been done before. Okay, I want to say that to the American public.
We're going to win, and we're going to win big. All right?
We're going to win faster than anyone ever expected, okay?
Anybody who's seen my show knows that I'm a winner. Okay, I don't even be making fun of the guy who just signed into law my $1,200 check, so thanks, Trump. All right. I didn't go through all of those news highlights, though. Or was that? Did that suffice? Did that appease you in your challenge?
You did go through. Oh yeah, no, that worked. Yeah, that'll
great. Great.
That was good. I like how yours. So, he had a bit of a British twist to him, like he spent a year abroad.
Really?
Yeah. Like you. Huh. Yeah. Maybe he went to.
I guess I'm getting ready for our for our last segment.
Maybe
huh?
it seemed like he spent a year at Cambridge or something. I don't know.
He might have. Stay tuned. Just stay tuned, everybody. All right. Or I guess you could just skip ahead, which please don't. You know, listen to us. We have a voice.
Please.
All right. Yeah, please. All right. So I got a little trivia question for you, Garrett.
I am ready. Always ready for trivia.
Are you sure you're ready?
Yes. Do I need a buzzer?
Yeah, I want you to just verbally make the buzzing sound when you're ready.
Yeah.
Which of the following is the true origin of the word quarantine? A. No, you don't know that.
Okay, I can't go yet.
A. In the 14th century, ships coming into Venice from infected ports had to wait 40 days before landing. B. The traditional dwellings in Benedictine monasteries in France. Or C. A designated section of Civil War camps for the wounded. Garrett Howard.
Okay, let me think this through. I think I can pretty much cancel out C. That doesn't seem right at all. B feels good. And both A and B feel good.
All right. 5, 4, 3.
What is 2. A?
Ding, ding, ding. Correct. Good job, Garrett.
Thank you.
You win nothing. Actually, you win $1,200.
Oh, wow.
That's what you get from the government.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So that does it for our, I guess, what do you want to call that? Our relevant daily news?
Like the relevant
segment?
World daily news headlines.
That's that hard-hitting journalism segment that you expect from the Starting 11 podcast.
Yeah, we're out there on the beat, guys.
Tracking down those stories. Tracking them all down.
Okay. So now a bit of football world headline news segments.
Yay.
Let's hear it. How is our beloved Premier League being affected by the COVID-19 global pandemic, Paul? Well, I'll tell you. You don't have to answer that.
Okay.
The transfer window set to open June 10th is most likely going to be postponed.
Aww.
Yeah, especially, you know, we think hopefully football will be back in April April 30th. We'll see if that actually happens. But regardless, it's going to have to be postponed. There's no way around it. Another factor we have to think about is that transfer valuations will probably be declining. You know, you think of the Jadon Sanchos that are, being evaluated at over £100 million for transfers. Clubs that are suddenly cash starved, not saying that Dortmund are, will probably be open to taking lower fees. Also, it wouldn't be great publicity for some of the bigger clubs like Man U to be spending crazy amounts of money on players like Jadon Sancho when they could be helping out their country's smaller, less fortunate teams.
Makes sense. Yeah. Makes sense. Troubling times.
I think so.
I think a lot of teams are even, struggling to pay their, gatekeepers and ticket office, box office.
Yeah. I mean, staff if you're struggling to pay your own employees and the players that you already have in player wages,
right?
Not a great look to be going out and buying the next superstar.
Yeah. Also, your ticket sales are zero because there's no game, which is, so ticket revenue. Yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah. So another a specific league that could be in trouble is the Bundesliga, the German league, which you wouldn't think it because they're such a big, prominent league. But the way that the organizations are set up, it's all the clubs are members clubs. After they fought for the 50+1 rule, and they could all be in trouble because they don't have those big financial backings like we do in the Premier League.
Garrett, what's the 50+1 rule?
Well, the 50+1 rule. I'm glad you asked, Paul. The 50+1 rule, in very, very layman's terms, is the ability of the members of the club. So, the general public, basically. The fans really have majority stake in the club as opposed to big billionaires from Saudi Arabia. That is not a pointed statement, even though it sounds like a pointed
statement. Like Manchester City?
Oh, yeah. Okay. It was a pointed statement.
Okay.
Lastly, there has to be a resolution for how to handle the expiring player contracts. This will definitely be important when the season starts back up and all of a sudden we're playing games in July because – most contracts will be up in June of those expiring contracts. So, players will have to, I think it was Willian from Chelsea said, I don't need a contract to play, but he says that. And then you forget about insurance. I mean, these guys have jobs just like we have jobs. They just have much cooler jobs, much more high paying jobs, but they still have to worry about insurance. What if Willian plays without a contract, no insurance, goes and gets himself hurt or someone else hurt? Like, then who's liable for that? These are things that the clubs have to think about. So yes, player wages definitely going to be a big factor, big news thing to look out for going forward. Next, uplifting good news. Speaking of the Bundesliga, the four Champions League qualifying teams, those being Bayern Munich, Borussia Dortmund, RB Leipzig, and Bayer Leverkusen, have each donated $5.5 million, 20 million euros total, to provide support for struggling Bundesliga and Bundesliga 2 teams, which is just excellent to see from the top guys. And I hope that this will be echoed in the Premier League and other leagues as well. It was reported by The Athletic that the sum Premier League clubs would have to repay if this season remains unfinished is £762 million. That is for the TV deals with Sky Sports.
Is that
BT Sports
per club, or is that
no? All... That is total. So per club, we're okay. Probably looking at about $30 million, I believe, is the number. Agent Sam Winstanley, it's an interesting last name, of Beswick Sports,
I love it,
told Bleacher Report, "As it stands right now, the message I'm getting is that the Premier League will be back behind closed doors as soon as possible. Big news." He goes on, "I think they will want to get the season completed by July 1st. Yes, yes. He also says, "Right across the top five leagues and everybody else, the issue of finishing the season has financial consequences, particularly linked to broadcasting and tickets, as we've mentioned. There will come a point when clubs can't afford to continue to pay their players without games being televised. They need commercial revenues, and that will concern everyone, players and clubs." Lots of things to think about.
You gotta get them on TV, or else you're gonna have to pay up at the end of the season.
Basically, and I'll tell you what, if I have to do pay per view for the rest of the season, I am okay with that. Don't listen, Premier League, because I don't want to have to do that, but I will. He also continues, "TV money is staggered throughout the season, and if all games are not completed, the broadcasters could say they haven't received the value of games, and would end up having pretty forthright conversations with leagues. The Premier League is hit hardest by this concern because their broadcast deals with Sky Sports, BT Sport, and Amazon total £1.665 billion and are higher than any other top league." That's a lot of money, Paul.
That is a lot of money. Not as much money as the government, U.S. government, is giving all of our taxpayers and institutions and businesses, but still a lot of money for sports. So let me ask you this. I didn't know Amazon was – I mean, what do they own? The world. I know they own the world, but like specifically broadcast deals. What – who? I'm confused.
You know, I'm actually not too sure. I think Amazon might have – rights in the UK to stream okay. games, but I'm not positive.
Okay, so we're asking questions of ourselves that we don't know the answers to.
That is correct.
So we are not really telling our viewers a whole lot. But I'll say this, I'll go on record. We don't know what Amazon is doing in soccer, or in football, English Premier League football to be specific. But we're going to find out for you, and we're going to get back to you guys, okay?
Yeah, actually, I am a buffoon. I believe they do have live games in the Premier League. I did not know this because I just used the Premier League pass on NBC Sports. Shout out NBC Sports.
Shout out.
But yeah, so
love you guys. Give us a free year, please.
Amazon Prime does live streaming games. So there you go.
Nice.
That's the answer awesome. To that question.
They also bring toilet paper to your door if you ask them.
Well, if it's not out of stock, they do. We tried.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to move on to the
did
next
section?
Did you
get section? Some? But did you get some toilet paper?
I did. Well, actually, no. I had enough in my house, actually, for now. We'll see.
Good. All right. To our next section. Liverpool.
Liverpool.
The main reason, the main bread and butter. for all of our hardcore Liverpool fans out there.
Let's hear it.
Garrett, 16 teams across the local Liverpool area have yesterday, as of yesterday, had their football season declared null and void by the Football Association. So in essence, Garrett, there's teams that played for, you know, basically 6, 7, 8 months, and there's going to be no history of that on the record books.
No history and no money for getting promoted up in those non-league teams, non-league leagues, if you will. I mean, you look at the top of the non-league leagues, I believe it's the National League, and those guys that were supposed to be getting promoted and get a big payday for going into the EFL no longer get that. It's pretty disappointing.
It is. And to be specific, that's not the Premier League guys. That's the
correct,
the non-league teams. So, but those are the grinders. Those are the ones that's the real, I'm going to use a big word here. Those are the real organic grown teams.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Spell it.
Shout out Whole Foods. That basically they wipe. Those are the ones who all have, like, you know, second, third jobs. They're not making a whole lot of money.
Those are the Salfords from 3 years ago or 2 years ago.
Yeah. So for the English football clubs, they've actually been informed that the league won't get, and Garrett spoke to this a little bit earlier, that we will not be resuming the 2019-2020 football season by at least, I think, until after April 30th. So we're looking at least another month of no football.
I mean, April 30th was always an optimistic date, just like, you know, having the U.S. back on top of things by Easter, as Trump said, is also an optimistic thing. It's great to think that way. But, you know, prepare to not have that happen.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, I mean, we can even switch over and we can go back and forth. But, like, more of just our society in America, you know, I heard a lot of people say, oh, don't worry, this will pass over in like 2-3 weeks. Like, no worries, everything will get back to normal. And I think when you create those kind of expectations that you know are going to fail or, like, not going to be met, I feel like you're causing a lot of, like, depressed and sad people across the country. And but also there's also a balance, because I remember reading, like, the first couple of days, there's some English scientists who put some formulas together running some scenarios. There's going to be like 3 million people dead across the earth in less than like 2 months. And they've already, like, retracted all of that information and those statistics, and now have said, given much smaller numbers. But it would have been better just to say, you know, English football club, basically operations or seasons have been suspended until further notice, you know, it's going to be suspended until April 30th. I don't know. It's just not a very smart business move there.
Yeah. I don't see the merit in stamping a date on that.
Yeah. So remember last episode, I mentioned that we should see back June or July to finish the season. We should see maybe 3 or 4 games a week for our Premier League teams. Everybody's going to be coming back rested. Everybody's going to be coming back ready to play. Steve Bruce,
Paul,
skipper for
Paul. Yeah. Are you a soothsayer?
I've been called that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you are, because you guessed this. Spot on.
Yeah. We're looking at a festival of football. Steve Bruce, this is his direct quote. He is called, that's not a direct quote. basically, Steve Bruce has called for Premier League teams to play 2 or 3 times a week, resulting in a festival of football with games on every day in order for the season to finish. I love it.
That would be amazing.
Man, you're looking at like a March Madness type of Premier League football.
Oh, gosh. And isn't that festival. What we've all been craving?
Oh, yeah. Me. Definitely me.
Definitely me, too. Hopefully the quality doesn't drop off. I mean, unless.
But think about it, man. And then you could create some other rules, too, like free subs.
Yeah. Or... I've seen that been thrown about.
You could even do like shortened halves, you know, like 40-minute halves or something.
I don't like that.
I'm gonna go ahead and mess with him.
I'm gonna go ahead and cancel that. Yeah,
you're gonna, snip, snap.
Snip, snap. Yeah, terrible idea, Paul.
Okay, sorry. but anyway, Steve Bruce and I need to call that guy.
Yeah, y'all should connect. Y'all should connect. Lincoln Build.
He's a bright guy. He's got a bright future ahead of him. So, Garrett, we're gonna move on to our last section. We covered the world news, and we covered football world news and Liverpool news. So now we're going to go into a little 5-minute goodbye. We're going to try to hold fast to 5 minutes. But before we start, we just want to let all of our listeners know of a current album we're really digging these days, you know, really listening to. Garrett, have you heard of a band called The Band Camino?
I have, in fact, only because you told me about them. So credit to you.
Perfect. Yeah. Have you listened to them?
Yes. When you sent me the songs to listen to, I like them. They're good.
Okay. Great. Yeah. Awesome.
I support this album recommendation.
So the album I'm telling our listeners is called Try Hard. You know, I often refer to Garrett as a try hard. So I thought that this was going to be a good album for all, for all of our listeners out there. The Band Camino, go check it out. Check it out. So last episode we asked each other some questions, and now we're gonna ask the same question because I want to still be up to date on what Garrett's eating. I care about you, buddy.
Many people are asking.
What's the last thing you ate?
The last thing I ate was curry meatballs, homemade nice. Curry meatballs. Yeah, they were delicious.
Shout out, Macy.
Yeah. Nah. Yeah, you guessed. Yeah, you don't think I can cook those?
No.
Well, you're right, because I can't. Yes, the curry meatballs—they were amazing. Paul, what was the last thing you ate?
Shout out, Lindsay, my wife. The last thing I ate were homemade brownies.
Ugh.
Really, all I had was one.
Gross.
But I might go get another one here later.
I'm a staunch brownie hater, so. You do not have my support on that one.
Your life is really sad. Why? What happened? There's got to be a story behind this.
I don't like chocolate all that much.
What?
I like Butterfingers. I like some chocolate chip cookies. But yeah, for the most part, I don't like chocolate.
Man, I'm learning more about you every day.
The chocolate has to have something good in it. And brownie is
the
not.
The chocolate is the good thing.
Agree to disagree. The chocolate is a compliment.
All right.
Paul doesn't know how to recover from that one.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Whatever. So, we learned that Garrett does not like chocolate. He's a staunch hater of chocolate. So with that news, we're going to move into a little segment called acting.
Acting!
made of that segment right now. So Garrett and I are going to act out a scene from... Can't believe we're doing this. The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring.
And this is going to happen. Great movie. This is going to happen regularly. It won't always be Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, it won't, but just, you know, that's my fave. Shout out, Tolkien. It's my favorite, you know. You can't beat it.
Well, we're going to see if we can beat it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. All right, so for the listeners, we're going to be transported into the world of Middle Earth. Scene, Hobbiton Woods. Angle on two hobbit feet. Resting on a small rock rising out of the long, overgrown grasses. A figure lies beneath the dappled sunlight of an old tree. White flowers are scattered among the well-suited grasses, an idyllic setting at the end of a long, hot summer. The figure is reading a book, and the distance growing louder over the gentle clip-clop of an approaching cart and horse can be heard the humming of a deep voice to the tune of "The Road Goes Ever On and On." Suddenly, the figure in the grass sits up. Looking straight at camera is a handsome young hobbit with dark, curly hair and deep blue eyes. This is Frodo Baggins. His eyes alight with excitement, tossing away the long stem of grass in his mouth, Frodo runs off. The cart rattles along a leafy lane, driven by a stooped figure in gray. The shambling old pony snorts and rears as suddenly Frodo appears on a bank above the cart.
You're late.
Gandalf glowers at the young hobbit.
A wizard is never late, Frodo Baggins. Nor is he early. He arrives precisely when he means to.
They look at each other a moment. Then both start laughing as Frodo's face breaks into a smile and he leaps onto the front seat of the cart.
It's wonderful to see you, Gandalf.
Next to Gandalf, we see how small hobbits are. Frodo is 3'6" tall.
You didn't think I'd miss your Uncle Bilbo's birthday.
The cart rattles past a field lupin being tended in.
What news of the outside world? Tell me everything.
Gandalf looks down at Frodo, a twinkle in his eye.
What, everything? Far too eager and curious for a hobbit. Most unnatural.
The cart rattles over a stone bridge towards a busy hobbit marketplace.
Well, what can I tell you? Life in the wide world goes on much as it has in this past age. Full of its own comings and goings, scarcely even aware of the existence of hobbits. For which I am very thankful.
Hobbits look up, exclaiming in wonder and excitement as the cart bearing Gandalf and Frodo rolls past the Green Dragon Inn towards the party field, where scores of hobbits are busy preparing for the big night.
Ah, the long-expected party. So how is the old rascal? I hear it's going to be a party of special magnificence.
You know Bilbo. He's got his whole place in an uproar.
Oh, well, that should please him.
Half the Shire has been invited.
Good gracious me.
He's up to something.
Oh, really?
Frodo shoots a knowing look as Gandalf averts his eyes.
All right, then. Keep your secrets. Before you came along, we Bagginses were very well thought of.
Indeed.
Never had any adventures or did anything unexpected.
If you're referring to the incident with the dragon, I was barely involved. All I did was give your uncle a little nudge at the door.
Whatever you did, you've been officially labeled a disturber of the peace.
Oh, really?
And scene.
Scene! And with that, this is Jihao and Peej signing off. Until next time. Like, follow, subscribe, whatever you have to do on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Go ahead and give us an Instagram follow while you're at it, @thestartingxipod. That's how you spell it, phonetically, thestarting11pod. Remember to get your dogs spayed and neutered.
Is that our thing?
It is now.
Bye.